Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Well, this church could be anywhere USA, in particular, and happened to be in Oklahoma. This church was large and, oh, they worshipped about 1,000 members on a Sunday morning. It would be what you might call a middle to upper class church. The worship service didn't seem to be too different than any other Protestant church, but it did last 2 hours long. One thing that was unique about this particular church was the fact that during the middle of the service, the pastor would stop the worship service and then ask people to pray in their personal prayer language. Now, what some people would do is that they would begin praying silently. Others would be, well, praying out loud in English for everybody to hear. And still others would be praying in their personal prayer language. Now, what is meant by this is that they would begin praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. Now, this would go on for a little bit. And then after a while there, the pastor would stop everybody and they would continue on with the service. Now, I'm sure you know people, perhaps, that who speak in tongues, or maybe you've even been in a worship setting, say, where they speak in tongues. Well, it happens. No big deal, right? But as we look at our scripture reading here for today, Paul speaks about speaking in tongues, but he also speaks to us as well. And so we're going to take a look at that this morning. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthians there in his letter. And he's speaking to them about spiritual gifts. And he encourages them to excel in gifts that build up the church. Now, spiritual gifts were spoken about a couple weeks ago in our scripture readings. And that's where we're talking about folks who have different spiritual gifts in the sense that some are given to be apostles and some for pastors and some for teachers. Okay? Not a big deal. But also, too, here he goes on in today's lesson and speaks a little bit more about speaking in tongues. Now, the people in Corinth at the time were very excited to be able to do that. Why? Well, it shows that the Holy Spirit is the one who bestows such gifts. And so if the Holy Spirit has given this particular gift of speaking in tongues to someone, well, the people were excited about that because that particular spiritual gift would be one in which everybody else could see that you got it. So they were excited about the fact that, hey, the Holy Spirit has come to me, and you can see it when I speak in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues also has another added benefit of building up a person's spirit. Not a bad gift to have, really. But alas, it's not my spiritual gift. Well, anyhow, Paul continues on by saying that, well, having this gift might not be as great as one might think. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gives and bestows upon God's people serve a purpose. And that purpose, as Paul explained, is to build up the church. Now, the problem here is that if an individual prays or sings in a tongue, the mind does not understand what is said. So you're speaking in a foreign language that you don't know. And when you're doing that, well, that's all well and good. Your mind doesn't understand what you're saying. And that's what Paul's talking about. So he goes on to say that, well, if you do this then, say in a worship setting, while you're praying in a tongue or singing in a tongue, you don't understand. And if there's not another person there who understands it or you don't understand it to then explain what's being said, then he says the mind doesn't benefit, nor do the people around you benefit either. He puts it this way. If you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. In church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Well, nothing like laying down the law here to the Corinthians and then boring you here this morning with something that, well, it doesn't go on here. Why should we even consider that? You know, we talked about spiritual gifts a couple weeks ago, and now this. What does that have to do with us this morning? Well, go back to that part there where Paul tells the Corinthians this. Speaking 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Here is the point that Paul is making in order to build up the church. Now, building up the church with clear and intelligible words and understandable words, right? That's what he's talking about, that he wants to be able to understand in his mind what he is saying. Well, that's the goal. Okay? But what are the clear words that we should be speaking? What are those that we should share with others? And what happens when we don't have anything clear and understandable to say about Jesus? Well, it reminds me of a seminary student who went to receive his instruction in order to be a chaplain, to go make hospital calls, learning how to make those kinds of visits. So the seminary sends out students to, if that's you're so inclined that you want to go and do that kind of thing, you go there, and so there's a pastor there who's a chaplain there at the hospital, and so then you sit down and have some classes with them and you give some instructions. And then once you get to that point where he feels that you're comfortable, ready to go make a call, sends the students out then, gives them some names to go, people to visit. So he says, you know, these are the people here. I'm giving you some names. Like, you know, they should be ready and willing and excited to have you come in and, well, want to visit with you and those kinds of things. So he handed out the names to the students, and off they went. So they got their first names and walked down the hall. So they went outside there and saw that very first room, saw the room number there, got the individual's name on the card, knocks on the door, goes in. Hi. I'm John Hopkins, chaplain intern. I was wondering if I might be able to, say a prayer with you, read some scripture and those kinds of things. Would that be all right? Well, this man who's lying there in the bed, he had tubes running everywhere, and he kind of leans up and looks at me and says, I want to die. I'm looking at him thinking, I got to be in the wrong room. I'm supposed to have people who want to talk to me, not this. Not this. Oh, if I had 5 words to share. How often do we find ourselves in situations like that with nothing to say sometimes? We have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And what do we do instead? We share 10,000 words about something else, talk about how the Patriots won for the umpteenth time, something like that, rather than say 5 words about Jesus. We stand there running off at the mouth rather than building up the church. So we ask ourselves, what are words that we should share? What are words that we should say? So let's take a look at Jesus in a stressful situation. What did he have to say? Now we're going to take a look at Jesus where he is hanging on the cross. Now, I don't mean to make light of anything or in comparison about me being in that hospital room and Jesus hanging on the cross, but I'm using this particular one as an example of what Jesus did say in a stressful situation. So we go to the Gospel of Mark, and we have Jesus there who has already been nailed to the cross, he's hanging on the cross, and then speaks these words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, those words to Mark's Greek readers there wouldn't understand what Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani would mean. But he goes on and interprets for them what it does mean. Again, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, Paul was sharing here that, well, you know, if you're praying in tongues, it's supposed to edify a person, the person who's speaking. How then is this edifying Jesus? Offhand, it would seem that it is not. And if it's not, how can he build up the church by saying those words? Go back again to what he said. Why have you forsaken me? Those 5 words. Yes, when you think about Jesus as he was on the cross, he was indeed forsaken. But there was a reason. Jesus was hanging on that cross and was forsaken so that you and I wouldn't need to be forsaken. You see, it should have been us up there on that cross saying those very words, and rightfully so for the sins that we have committed. But Jesus, who knew no sins, was forsaken on our behalf. And in so doing, he earned forgiveness of our sins. So you see, as he rose from the grave alive, well, therein he lies, he gives us church. It gives us hope in the church. For you see, those five words, "Why have you forsaken me?" are words that build up the church. Think about it. Christ's death does give us five words to speak. Jesus was forsaken for me. Because wrapped up in those words there are the fact that Jesus did die for you and me so that we would be forgiven. And again, as he rose from the grave alive, he gives us hope. Hope where we had none before. For you see, we now have been given words to share, and our mouths have been open, and we can share those words with others. You see, we can declare that praise to one another. Because we who have been baptized have received the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who reminds us of those things that happened to Jesus and his words so that we can share those words with one another. So the next time you hear somebody who says, "I want to die," and I've heard that many times since that, man, and perhaps you have too from a loved one. And when you do, it strikes you dear and in the heart yourself because you see the situation in which they find themselves in. They're wanting hope. And you've got the words. You've got the words because you know that you have a God who suffered so. You know that you have a God who understands, who wants to forgive, who wants to comfort. And you can share those very words with that person, that loved one. Because you see, sometimes the person who's saying that wants to go be with the Lord. And you'll remind them that, yes, indeed, you are in the hands of the Lord. He has provided you that comfort and peace. But when you're gathered to him, it's always on his terms and not ours. And that's why we share those words of comfort and peace with one another. Because we do have a God who cares and loves us so very much. So in those difficult times, yeah, and you want to hold back and you're wondering, do I have anything to share? Just remember the love of Jesus that was shared with you. And you in turn can share that with others. Then you will have five words and more to be able to share with them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.